So we have over here a handout on Hadlokas Neros. I came across an article in the Chakira Journal. First I'll tell you which journal, which number it is. Volume number 7, the winter of 2009. Okay, there's a really good article. I never saw the Inyan of Hadlokas Neros presented in such a fashion. The article was written by J. Gene Adler. Not even sure I'm pronouncing his name correctly. A-J-D-L-E-R. I don't know how to pronounce that.
I think the J is silent, like Adler.
Adler?
I think the J is silent.
Adler. Okay, J. Gene Adler. He has an MS in engineering and works in civil and works as a civil and structural engineer. All right, he has a number of articles in different svarim. Obviously, a very, very great Talmud Chacham, heads and shoulders over me. That's not an understatement. All right, but the theme of this article is to trace the source of the custom, our custom today, that is recorded in Shulchan Aruch. The way, the fashion that we light Hadlokas Neros. Now, I'm assuming that everyone here does the same thing. You go home, you go to the window, you put down the menorah, and the first night of Chanukah, you recite three brachas. Sheri Kiddushan b'mitzvos v'mitzvot l'halik ner shel Chanukah, she'osa nisim l'avoseinu b'ayarim ha'im azman hazeh, and the first night you make a shechianu, and where is the candle on your menorah? I'm assuming you have a menorah, a Chanukiah. There are 8 slots. On the first night, in which slot do you put your little glass cup with your jelly oil or your regular oil or your candle? You put it on the extreme right. Is that what everyone does? You face the window. You face the window. You have your 8 slots. You put it on the right. Okay, let's fast forward. Night number 2. The second night. Where do you put the candle? You put it on the two slots to the right.
Right.
Which one do you light first?
The left.
You write from the two that are on the right, you start with the left, and you maneuver to the right. I assume everyone follows this custom. Let's go to night number 3. Let's go to night number 4. Okay, just for purpose of illustration. Night number 4, you have your menorah, your Chanukiah, you have 4 slots on the right. You make how many brachos? 2 brachos. You first, and then after you make the 2 brachos, you light candle, and that's the most left. You have 4 neros that are on the right side of your menorah, and from those 4 candles, you focus on the one that's on the extreme left. And then you turn from the left, you go to the right. Now here's the question. Why do you light the candle? Well, first of all, why are you lighting more than one candle? That's what's all that about? The mitzvah is only to light one candle. Why are we lighting 4 candles? Everyone knows the answer. Mahadrim. A mahadrim is everyone in the family should light a menorah, their own menorah, and everyone in the family should light Moisif v'hoylech. We follow Beis Hillel, and every night we light an additional candle. So what we are doing over here is nothing more than hidur. Now, what is the obvious question? This we're touching on. I want to throw out some issues, and then we'll go through this handout and some of the ideas he brings out here. It's a very complicated article, and I didn't prepare very much. Just throw out some of the main yisaydos. What are the issues? Issue number 1 is, which of the 4 candles is the ikar?
Azoytif.
And which is the hidur? The ikar, l'cha'ora, is the candle that you started with on the first night of Chanukah. That's the ikar, the candle that's to the extreme right. Candle number 2, 3, and 4, those candles are being lit mishum mahadrin, hidur mitzvah. So let me ask you the question: when you light the candle, you make a bracha, the bracha is on a chefetz of the mitzvah. Should the bracha be performed on the ikar mitzvah or on the hidur mitzvah? So one can argue, you can make a real legitimate argument that the bracha should be lit on the ikar mitzvah. not on the Hiddur mitzvah. Or maybe you'll argue, no, you should light the make the bracha on the Hiddur. This touches upon the classic shayla from Beis Halev. What was the classic shayla in Esrog? Pers Naz in front of him, two Esrogim. One Esrog is stunning. It's a beauty. It's Hadar. It's an outstanding Esrog. But the problem is, the Yichus is questionable. It might be a lemon. It might be a Murkoff. It might not be a... But it's exquisite. And the other hand, I have an Esrog that is as plain as can be, as boring as can possibly be. But one thing for sure, it's a Yichus. It's a Litvak. Notam v'reach. Okay? It shuckles. It stands straight. Notam v'reach. Okay, so which one do you make the bracha on? So what is it? So what would one say? So if you wouldn't know otherwise, you would say, of course, you make the bracha on the esrog. You make the bracha on the esrog, on the litvak, on the esrog that is a miyuchis. And then you'll be also be make the bracha on the one you'll then, after you finish the ikos, so then you'll shake the other one. So the Beis Halevi says that is a mistake, because you only get one chance to be Mekayim Hiddur. Hiddur is built into the mitzvah, the Ikar mitzvah. So better make the bracha on the one measure that's Mechudur, because on the Tzah, that the Esrog is, does have good Yichus, not only will you Yotze the mitzvah, you also were Mekayim the mitzvah of Hiddur, the bracha was made on the Hiddur. And then, just in case the bracha was not chal upon that esrog, so then you go to the other esrog that is the miyuchis. But if you're going to make the bracha on the esrog that is a miyuchis, but if it's a miyuchis, it's certainly not a mehudar, you've lost your chance. Once you're already with mekayim the ikar mitzvah, it's too late to be mekayim the hiddur. The hiddur is only as good as the ikar. So therefore, it's better to make the bracha on the suffix miyuchis, being that it's mehudar, because the chances you'll chop around both in one shot. You'll be mekayim the ikar with the hiddur, but if you're going to take the other esrog, you're only going to get the ikar, and it's going to be too late to be mekayim gezuntah once you mekayim the ikar. So therefore, you can argue the same thing as when it comes to Chanukah. If you're going to make the bracha, there are two things in front of me. It's the fourth night of Chanukah. Now, for example, I have on the right side the Iker, and the reason why I'm calling the candle on the right side the Iker is because that's where I've started from the previous three nights. If the first night, that's where I started from, that says something. If the first night of Chanukah, I put my candle in slot number one, Gesundheit, on the extreme right, I have made a statement that slot number one in my eyes is the Iker. That means night number two, nothing changes. You have to assume that a person wins to be consistent. Night number two, the Iker, is candle number, slot number one. Night number three, the Iker mitzvah, is candle number one. Night number four, the same thing. The other candles, two, three, four, that is my Hiddur. But according to the Beis Halevi, Hiddur is only as good as the Iker. Once you do the Iker mitzvah, it's too late to be Mekayim the Hiddur mitzvah. So according to the Sur of the Beis Halevi, you mechuyev, you want to be Mekayim the Hiddur, you have to make the bracha on the Hiddur, on candle number four, to show you Mekayim Hiddur, and then work your way backwards to candle three, two, and one. So this is a Svara, and that is what we do today. That's what it says to do in the Shulchan Aruch, and that's part of the Lamnis. And if you look on this handout, you'll notice, you take the handout, okay, right side up, on the top it says the order of lighting the Hanukkah candles, turn it upside down, and you'll see, well, look, the first look where it says Maharik, on the top illustration where it says Maharik, and the Maharik is really what the Shulchan Aruch is quoting from. You turn it upside down, it shows you 1 and 1, 2. On the first night of Chanukah, you put your candle along the right side of the menorah. Notice the menorah is by a window. It's a window facing the street. It's by a window facing the street. And on the second night, is the line, is the what it's right below it, 1, 2. The first candle is to the left, and then you move over to the right. Everyone see the symbols? Okay, first turn right side up. Okay, right side up. It says the order of lighting the Hanukkah candles, page 227. Notice there are two illustrations, the top illustration and the bottom illustration. In the top illustration, it says towards the bottom, Maharik. You see Maharik? Okay, now you see the numbers are upside down. So in order to read it right side, to turn the page upside down, look at that where it says 1 and 1, 2. You see the line. The line is your Hanukkah menorah. Notice the Hanukkah menorah is against the window. Okay, you're in a building. You're right against the window. And the number 1 means the first night of Hanukkah, you put one candle along the right side of the menorah. You make 3 brachas. The second night, you put 2 candles. And the first candle you're going to light the second night is going to be the additional candle. The additional candle is the candle that's mechudar, is mekayim the mitzvah of hidra mitzvah. Upon that you make the bracha. Now there's another minug. This is the minug, I think, of the Maram Ehrenberg. If I'm not mistaken, the Maram Ehrenberg, if it's not him, then it's others. And they suggest to do as follows. The first night, you make, let's go back to the fourth night. You make 2 brachas. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu lahalik ner shel Chanukah. After you make the first bracha, you light the first candle. The further commandment was the candle on the extreme right. Then you write this. Then you move to the left and light the second candle. Then you light the third candle. And then when you get to the last candle, you make the second bracha. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah sha'asa nisim la'loseinu b'yomim ohein b'zman hazeh. So what you're doing is you're making, when you're breaking up the brachas. We don't do it like that. You're making up the brachas, so the bracha, what? Maram Ehrenberg. So you're breaking up the brachas.
And you're changing the seder of the lining.
You're also changing the seder of the lining. You're starting with the ikar. You're making the bracha on the ikar, which really makes a logical sense. That's the ikar mitzvah on one candle. And then when it comes to mahadrin, you have a separate bracha. So it's not that you're not losing out. You're not losing out. The nace, what exactly was the nace? The nace was moisif ha'olich. Every single day, the nace got bigger. So you come to the shpitz, when you come to the end of the ultimate degree of miracle that took place on day 4, that the candles are still commemorating what happened in the Beis Hamikdash, and the candles remain lit for 8 days. So every single day, the miracle got greater and greater. So when you come to do the last possible ma'aseh that you're going to express the miracle, you then make the bracha sha'asa nisim la'voseinu b'yamim. There's a lot of logic to doing it in that fashion. Okay, now the point he makes here in this sefer is he just puts together. First, let's discuss some of the issues. Issue number 1: the Gemara very explicitly says that the proper location to light the menorah is on the left side of the Pesach. Why on the left side of the Pesach? We want a person to be mesuvah the mitzvahs. We want a person to be, what's on the right side of the Pesach? The mezuzah. What's on the, therefore on the left side, you'll in the left side of the Pesach is the menorah. So you'll be mesuvah the mitzvahs. This is the ideal place. The left side. Now the problem is, okay, that's one issue. Okay, so therefore the left, the Mekoyim HaPesach on the left is the L'chora, is the Ikrim Mekoyim. The Gemara also says that Bizman HaSakon, at the time of danger, Bizman HaZeh, we're living with HaSakon, it's not very practical to go and to light of the Pesach, because someone on the outside will see what you're doing and they may come and they will, like, it can lead to Sakana. So Manichai Al Shulchanai V'dayai, you can put it indoors on your dining room table, V'dayai, and in fact there are many people that still do this on HaYom HaZeh. They don't even light it at the window, they put it on the dining room table, light the menorah, it's the they bias. You don't want to show your religious symbols in the street. Okay, there is such a shita like that, but mostly put it by the window. The Shemur says the minhag is put it by the window. Well, there's now there's another issue, another very important issue, and that is we have a principle in Chazal called Pina Sha'ata Poine Lo Yehei Ela Liyamin. Every time you make a turn, the turn always should be towards the right. Now, our custom, the way we light the menorah, are we mekayim the meaning of kol pina shata pana lo yehei ela liyamin? In one respect, yes. If we start with the leftmost candle, like, think about night number four, we set up the menorah when there are the 4 candles on the right side of the menorah, we begin with the leftmost candle, and then we move towards the right. We're lighting the candle which represents the hidur mitzvah, and we move to the right. So we are being mekayim to some degree, called pina sha'ata poine lo yehei ela liyamin. But one can argue that's not what Chazal had in mind. When you move up an additional candle, maybe that's where it should be liyamin. Now, if that would be true, it would require you to start lighting, the first candle should be lit on the extreme left, and the second night of Hanukkah, when you add an additional candle to the Mekayim Hidur, that additional candle should be to the right. And then when you light, you'll light from the left to the right. Who told you to set up the candle? Maybe when Chazal had a mind called Pinush at the point of Lo Yehei El Liyamin, in way we should interpret this, fulfill this Chazal in the lighting of the Hanukkah candles, is that every night when we add an additional candle, the additional candle that we add should be to the right of the candle that we had the night before. So everyone has a problem. We're going to come and address this. Everyone has a problem. Now another issue is, the Gemara does say very clearly that the proper location to put the Chanukah menorah is the Tefach HaSamuch LePesach. The Tefach that is closest to the Pesach, which is simply interpreted to mean the post. If the first night of Chanukah, what?
In the diagram.
Okay, I didn't get to the diagram yet. So,
what's Pesach?
Okay, when it comes to the diagram in a moment. Pesach, I just wanted to first read all the issues and show you how all of these things throughout history have come together to develop into this mystery, into the way we do things today. His thesis in this article is, the minig that we do today is a das yochid. Is a das yachid that Rav Yosef is a das yachid is a rare opinion that the Beis Yosef, for whatever reason, cherished. It was only observed by the French Jews, and somehow. Let's go step by step. Let's just first throw out some of the issues. The other, okay, so we have another halacha in Shulchan Aruch that says that the Gemara says the menorah should be put at the Tefach HaSamuch LePesach. The candle should be closest towards the post of the door. So let's review. We have a halacha that the menorah should be put on the left side of the Pesach. We have a principle called Pina Sha'atapone Lo Yehei Ela Liyamin. We have a principle that even when we put it on the left side, the candle should be put closest to the post of the door. The Tefach HaSamuch LePesach. Next issue. What happens if you live in a home that for whatever reason does not have a mezuzah? And this was the reality for Jews living in the 14th century, the 15th century, the 16th century. They did not have a mezuzah on most of their doors, either because of sakana, pikuach nefesh, the guy would see a mezuzah, you were a target for big problems, or they lived in dire poverty, and in their home, they didn't just live in their home was also a Beis HaKiseh. Okay, they did, not like today, with affluence, you have a Beis HaKiseh. The Beis HaKiseh itself is, according to some place, you can put a mezuzah on a Beis HaKiseh. That's how clean our bathrooms are. But you lived in one little room, and in this one little room you would undress, and you would do things that are not bakovedic for a mezuzah. So it was very common in ancient times not to have a mezuzah on your home for various different reasons. So this is a major dilemma. If you live in a have a situation where you do not have a mezuzah on your home, should I change the location of the menorah from the left to the right? Normally, what is chashuv? The menorah should be in the Pesach Habayis, so when people come and go, they see the menorah, there should be Pesach Menisa. The primary location is the right. The only reason why we shift from the right to the left is because we already have an object of mitzvah on the right side, the mezuzah, so we shift to the left. in order so we would know the location. But when you don't have a mezuzah on the right side, is there a requirement, or is there a requirement to then take the menorah that would otherwise be on the left and put it on the right? This appears to be a major machlokes ha'paisim. So we review very again. We have basically four issues. Number one, the menorah lechatchila should be on the left side. Issue number two, when you don't have a mezuzah, does that require us to change it from the left to the right? We have a principle called Pina Shata, Poinin Lo Yehei Elo Yemin. How do we interpret those words of Chazal? The next issue is, the next issue is we have an need to put the menorah along the tefach hasamuch lepesach, and then let's throw out another issue that we started with is, well, what are you making the bracha on? Are you making the bracha on the ikur mitzvah, or are you making the bracha on the hider mitzvah? Or maybe you want to break up the brachas. One bracha you'll make on the ikur mitzvah, and one bracha you'll make on the hider mitzvah. Okay, so all of these things converge to figure out the proper location to put up, to where to light the Chanukah candle. So let's go look at the handout. On the handout, he starts off with the sheet of the kolboy. Okay, the kolboy, Rabbeinu Yehoram, I think a kolboy whose name was Rabbeinu Yehoram, he shows on the top that Rabbeinu Yeruchim, let's look at the top illustration. The top illustration, we have the front door and the back door. Okay, this is one he's calling here Rabbeinu Yeruchim. This he holds is to be the ideal. This was a sheet in the 13th century. This was the ideal location to light the menorah, the Pesach Beis. So this is how they lived. They had a front door. They had the center of the home, and you would light at the front door. Notice you would face the door. The menorah is positioned along the width of the door, as you see in the illustration on top. The first night you light the tefach hasamuch lebeso. On the second night, you light it ala tefach. You go from left to right. The first candle is the tefach hasamuch lebeso, and the second candle is going from left. So, what are the advantages do we have in fulfilling the mitzvah in this particular way? Number one, you're lighting it at the Pesach Beso. Notice in this illustration, it's on the left side, because we are assuming here that on the right side of the front door there is a mezuzah. So you have the advantage that your menorah is on the left side. It's up against the Tefach HaSamuch LeBeso. You're going from left to right. The first candle is on the left. The second candle you light is to the right. What is the disadvantage to this approach? That when you're making the bracha, you're making the bracha on the ikur, and then you're doing the hider. So there's a difficulty. Can you fulfill hider once already you've done the ikur? Once I've already, like, as we mentioned with regard to the esrog, it's better to take the esrog that is a mechudar, a sotik miyuchas, because once you're mekayim the ikur, it's too late to be mekayim the hider. So this approach, what it shows over here on this example, is perfect. The only thing that's problematic is the bracha is being recited on candle number one, which is the ikur. And only then are you proceeding to do the hider. Now, he shows here on the back door, because already at this point in time, in this generation, when this Rabbeinu Yeruchim was writing, there already was a sakana, and not everyone was comfortable lining the menorah on the Pesach Besai in the front, so they lit the menorah in the back. They lit the menorah on the back door. Okay, now, he goes to the Maharam and the Maril. The Maharam and the Maril already lived at a time when it was already a sakana for people to light the menorah on their front door. So they stopped lighting the menorah on their front door. They would light the menorah on a door which led into their living quarters, like in their dining room. You would light the menorah on the opening to your dining room, because the people of the family, they would come and go, they come into the room. So you couldn't light on the front door, because from the street it was a sakana, but at least in your home, to fulfill the Togun mitzvah, you would light along the Tefach HaSamach Lebeso. So notice, the Maram and the Maril, it's exactly the same as Rabbeinu Yeruchim. It's just that we've moved it from the front door to the door coming into it, in the privacy of your home. Now he quotes here from the Austrians. Okay, these are a different set of Paiskim which already took note, which are putting the menorah not on the left, but are putting the menorah on the right. And the reason why there is a set of Paiskim that put it on the right is because there was no mezuzah on this door. When they lived in their homes, or they lived on their inner door, they did not have a mezuzah. And the reason why they give why there was no mezuzah we mentioned before is because they did in their main living quarters, they also used it as a beis hakiseh. People were not dressed. People did things that were not bakovedik. So therefore they felt that it's not a kavod to have a mezuzah in a room where you do private matters. So there was no mezuzah. Therefore they changed from lighting it on the left side to lighting the menorah on the right side. Therefore, here comes the problem. Now here comes the problem. When you're lighting it on the right side, because that's where the mezuzah is, that's where the ikabart, how do you fulfill now kol pino shata poine lo yehei elali yamin? So Pashto says you can no longer fulfill it. Because when you're going to light, since you want to preserve lighting a tefach ha-samach lebayis, so even the second night of Hanukkah, the first candle you're going to light is going to be the candle that's closest to the doorway. That's closest to the doorway. That's the Tefach HaSamach Lebayis. You cannot fulfill Kol Pino Shata Poine Lo Yehei El Liyamin. The second night, you're adding a candle to the left. And even in the order of lighting, you're going from right to left. So it appears that according to the way the Austrians, there's absolutely no fulfillment of Kol Pino Shatapone Lo Yehei El Liyamin when you're changing from the left side of the Pesach to the right side of the Pesach. Now, shift down to the Taz Namashal. The Taz Namashal already took note, this is already going, jumping way, way ahead in time. They already came up with new solutions. Now, look at the advantages to the new solutions. Their solution, their novelty was, who says you have to light the menorah along the width of the Pesach? Why not position the menorah along the length or along the thickness of the Pesach? So you see with the Taz and the Marshal. Taz and Marshal, okay, they show two different options, but they're putting the menorah, look how the line is drawn, they're putting the menorah along the thickness. So therefore, every candle that you light will always be considered Tefach HaSamuch Lebayis. That's what the Marshal and the Taz are trying to accomplish by changing the position of the menorah. Instead of putting the menorah this way, put the menorah this way. What are they trying to address? They're trying to fulfill the halacha Tefach HaSamuch Lebayis. Once you guarantee to always be the Tefach HaSamuch Lebayis, now you're able to once again fulfill the halacha called Pina Shata Pina Lo Yehei Elimin. The first night, you light the candle all the way on the right, and the second night, you'll go from right to left, but it's going to the second is going to be one, two. It's going to be
on the right hand side, but you're not pointing it to left.
But you're still always okay.
You're trying to
maneuver. Okay, I don't know. It's not really clear.
From right to left, according to
a coin, you're going from right to left, but you always, but the first candle is always going to be the right candle.
But it's also a problem for Sumanisa then, because it's harder to see.
But there's no Persumanisa. The Persumanisa is not an issue in the time because of Sakana. They're dealing in time of Sakana, so the Persumanisa is not an issue. The only issue over here is for the family, B'nai Ba'is. No, the B'nai Ba'is.
If you have Sakana, then why are you doing all the Hidurim? Why are you adding more money?
Whatever you can do, you can do. You want to fulfill it, you want to at least fulfill it with a token fulfillment of the mitzvah, to some degree.
So when there's no Sakana, you really shouldn't do that.
When there's no Sakana, yeah, that's right. That's why in Eretz Yisrael, there's no Sakana. It's our land. And that is why in Eretz Yisrael it's very common to do it outside. Yeah. The meaning of lighting in the street is the meaning we discussed last year, is the meaning of chutz li'aretz. Because in chutz li'aretz, by definition, you are in a matzav of sakana. A Jew does not belong in Golis. Being in Golis, by definition, is sakana. So mele, you can very easily rely upon the head of Shas HaSakana, Ma'anichai al Shulchanai V'dayai. In Eretz Yisrael, you can't possibly say that. In Eretz Yisrael, it's your land. We're living there. It's our land. Yemaisa Nefesh, who narrates Yisrael? This Sakana? I mean, maybe there is Sakana. They see, okay. But Eretz Yisrael, the heter of Manilcha al Shulchan Vidaya does not apply. That's Eretz Yisrael, it's common to light outside. But here, what the Taz is doing, the novelty of the Taz, the Mashal, is we want to address the issue of to put the menorah at the Tefach HaSamuch LePesach. Now, once we've done that, now we can proceed and attempt to fulfill Kol Pina She'ata Poine Lo Yehei El Yemin, and also the issue of the right versus the left. According to the Taz, he's putting it along the left side because he assumes obviously you have a menorah on the right side. So what are you going to do? You're going to light on the first time, the one that's on the extreme right, that I guess always going to be considered to be Kol Pina She'ata Poine Lo Yehei El Yemin. He interprets it to mean that the right, the first candle that you light, should be the right. That is the fulfillment of what it means called Pina She'ata Poine Lo Yehei El Yemin, and you also have the advantage that it's along the Tefach HaSamuch LePesach. Then he has another approach where you see it's on the other side, you put it along the inside of the bias, and there also you're putting it on the left side, it's the left side of coming in, and also it's going to be on the right side. One, every single day you move over to the left a little bit. Okay, no, that's very interesting. You move over to the left and you move backwards, and the bracha you're going to make is going to be l'chara on the hider mitzvah. And called Pinochet, the Pinochet Yelamin means the candle that you're moving over to. Okay, then there is the Marshal. The Marshal, as you see in the picture, he holds there was no mezuzah. But obviously, the minig that became popular, and we all do, is the minig of the Maharik. The minig of the Maharik is, according to Shulchan Aruch, is to stand by the Pesach, by the window, and the first night you go to the extreme right. And that is a fulfillment called Pinochet, the Pinochet Lo Yehei Ela Liyamin. And that's there. And then every single night we eat an additional candle. We always move to the right. We start with the move to the left. We move, and we make the bracha on the candle that is the hider mitzvah, not on the ikar mitzvah. Unless you want to assume, I don't know if anyone says this, is that what becomes the ikar, what becomes the hider, is changed every single night. Does anyone know like that? Is that as far as to say such a thing? That and let's say on the fourth night of Hanukkah, maybe one can argue that the first candle that you light is viewed to be the fourth candle, the new candle. And then the other three candles, those candles are the candles of hider. Is that a svara? Those are the three candles. Okay, but the minig is we make both brachas on the first candle, and then we proceed to go and to move all the way down to the right. All right, this obviously just a mashahu of the depth of the sugya.